Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Trail Culture. I'm your host, Em Robertson, and I'm so stoked that you're tuning in. The 2026 year brings a couple of changes for Trail Culture, some of those to be announced and will be coming down the pipeline soon. A small change is that there will be no more seasons of the podcast, just good old episodes. The guests are still going to be fantastic, and I will still be doing this at least twice a month. Without further ado, I'm so stoked to welcome Sean Robson, a favorite in the local trail running scene in Cape Town, whether he's running next to you at Tuesday Trails or giving you a word of encouragement on the mic from any of the races that he works at. He's an absolute legend, and we decided to take a little year in review moment for 2025, as well as to look ahead and dream about what could be for 2026. So I hope you enjoy the episode, and I'll see you guys back here next week for the next one. As usual, special thanks to Carbon Endurance for making the podcast possible. They're a performance consulting house that is a destination to visit for new ideas on products and nutrition that supports the endurance space. They've got some great new products out on their website, including ice bandanas and core body temp sensors that are perfect for the summit training block. I hope you all enjoy the episode, and thanks for tuning in. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Trail Culture. This one is long overdue. It was promised at the end of last year. Classic life happened, at least to me. Sean was always on board. But we are here with everybody's favorite MC, human voice that you want to hear as you run into any aid station at any of the major or non-major races. Sean, it's really good to see you.
It's good to have you, Em. Welcome to the mighty Mowbray. Yeah, the mean streets. Thank you for trucking out here and hanging out with my family while I went for a run.
It's epic.
Yeah, they're pretty wild, but they're pretty feral and great.
We should, Finn and Gray are responsible for our wonderful sound check, so
yep.
You guys can thank them for the crisp quality that we have this evening.
Yeah, it's fun. My two-year-old is quite obsessed with M right now, so I'm sure we'll have to be doing more podcasts from here. And Finn just got to show off his mountain biking skills, so that was cool.
Yeah, they gave me a great rendition of Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. They're following in their dad's footsteps.
Oh, I don't know, I think you'll catch me singing.
Sean Robson, how are you doing and what have you been up to? You emerged from a run around the commons earlier today. What is happening in the... We're already a month into 2026.
That's wild. Yeah. Today was day one of a new program. I've pretty much been lying fallow in the terms of running. I had big goals in December of putting a base together with family and whatnot, being here and helping with the kids. That did not happen.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I suppose at the risk of sounding like a running coach on Instagram or something, one day is today, or what would they say? Yeah, you can start today. I don't know. There's got to be like some weird like video wearing shorts and then wearing, I don't know.
It's like,
not to say I don't love all you coaches out there on the Insta. Big fan. Right up there with me following real estate agents.
Hey, love it.
Equal sort of energy, I dig.
Equal amounts of excitement and cringe. It's okay. Yeah. We can take it. We can take it, Sean.
I dig it. I mean, everyone's got to make a living somehow.
Sorry. I'm literally in the irony of this as I'm sitting across from you. I love it. This is great. Sean, I love your approach to running, wanting to get fit, loving this community for all the weirdness. You also have, in your words, the grumpiest coach in the world. He will my main name. People can guess.
Yeah,
who they think the grumpiest coach is.
I say the grumpiest coach. That's probably a bit hard on the man. He's perfect for me. He doesn't let me get away with anything. But he understands my limitations in terms of family and life and that, which I think all good coaches do.
Mm.
And he lives rent-free in my head when I'm out on runs. Any moment I want to quit or give up, I think, he doesn't think I can do this. I've got to do this. I'm going to prove him wrong. When he's at home, not thinking about me at all.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great coach for, and like coach-athlete relationship, right? But when it goes well, I get a little attaboy.
Mm-hmm.
And then we move on because, I mean, right, that's what we sign up for. I make fun of coaches, but I do think everyone, not everyone, but most people can benefit from having someone who can cast a good eye on things and give you the right motivation You know, I come out of a team sports background and I worked in sports journalism for a long time. Sometimes you need a bit of a man manager. I'm fortunate enough to, I've had one or two coaches before. I've been lucky enough to work with Aaron Van Essen, lovely man, super empathetic, and he's good at what he does and super loves what he does, and his athletes, the results speak themselves.
Yeah.
They're great coaches out there. I can list 15 good coaches
mm-hmm.
who I could probably hit with a stone from where I live. But I'm lucky enough to have someone who's happy to work with me and adjust to my goals. So yeah, and I can think of a few others. So if anyone's looking for coach advice or some recommendations, I'm happy to throw them out there. We'll just get on the Instagram. They're out there, guys.
No, I would rather follow Sean's advice than get on the gram to look for certain things. But you are someone whose advice that I would want to follow to a lot of things. You know a lot of people. You've been there for a lot of people. If it's in the trail community, literally on the trails, I've run with you Tuesday trails and you've gone back to retrieve poor lost souls who are somewhere in the woods. I've seen you on the mic comforting teary spectators and athletes. And then I've also seen people pretty much jump on you and hug and kiss you and all sorts of other things. So you can kind of take the ebbs and flows. And that is the point of today, Sean, which is we're going to reflect a little on 2025.
Amen.
And then look and see what the heck do we think is going to happen in 2026?
So much.
So much.
So much. Yeah, 2025.
What are you?
It's a month away now, right? We're on the 1st of February. I was slogging my way around the common trying to think of all the big performances and the things I've seen while I was trying to not get beaten by every suburban mom and dad out there. Then it occurred to me I'm a suburban dad. We saw some big stuff here. Eh? And having to cast your mind back all the way to January last year and sort of start thinking about what did we see at Pass to Pass earlier in the year, the big bat run. I mean, you've got UTCT coming at the end of the year, the big dance. UTD had some pretty stellar performances.
Mutt was next level.
Oh my gosh, Mutt. I was at home, following it online. Some of my favorite people absolutely knocked it out of the park. Mm-hmm. I mean, for the biggest part of the year, and I mean, I probably still argue that, and I know we're going to get to it, but Sam Riley's performance I'll go out on a limb, probably the running, joint. Nicolette Trevune is next level. But Sam's performance at Mutt is world class. I mean, I don't think we often realize how many world class female athletes we have in this country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Tony and Bianca have proved it internationally, but Sam's coming for it. And then
Nicolette
did her thing. She rocks up at triathlons, like intense triathlons in the fjords of Norway.
I know.
And podiums at that. She smashes the Trail Seeker mountain bike series.
Yeah.
And then casually works as a vet as well.
And it's just so nonchalant. Like,
she, I think, and Nicolette's an interesting cat, right? Like, very reserved, very business-like. And I mean that in a positive way. It's hard to scratch the surface of Nicolette Trevune because she's a private person. There was a moment, I think, at UTCT this year, she sort of gave me a side, like a wave, and I've never felt more vindicated and validated in my life. I was like, Nicolette Trevune knows who I am, or at least heard me.
Sean's like, I can go home.
So, Nicolette, thank you for that. If you even listen to podcasts, I hope you do. but I imagine you read books by fire in the evenings and perform like tracheotomies and cows and save lives everywhere and tell people about it.
And is planking for 20 minutes while doing all of this.
For sure.
Yeah.
But that 400 milers in a year, not just winning them, but absolutely dominating them, men's field and women's field in many ways. And then I think with an injury in some of them, what's become really popular, and not even just amongst the elites, is these post-race summaries.
Yeah.
Nicolette's post-race summaries never talk about, hey, so I was severely this and that. If she is injured, she would never tell us.
Mm-hmm.
She just gets out there and she's a throwback, I think, in some ways to like
old school
grit. Yeah.
Yeah.
And not to be lost on us, she's obviously supremely genetically talented. I mean, you don't start and get these things done, but must work so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Work so hard. And Pierre, her wonderful partner, also a very good athlete in his own, and just a really lovely man, worth a follow on the gram.
Oh yeah,
write some pretty moving and flowery things. So yeah, good for them. Well done.
Pierre's a well of emotion and thought that I just love. We've recorded podcasts before, but it took us because we both love to just chat about these things. And
it's just got a lovely voice. It's very soothing.
And they just, what I dig about them. I don't know whether to take that as a compliment or not. Sure.
Yeah. At my age, I fall asleep on a lot of things.
And I just, they're great, really cool couple. And I just, off interviewing them fresh off the trails after Mutt last year, one, the fact that Nicolette was walking totally normally to her, and I made them walk quite far. It was at least 800 meters across a field. That's far after 100 miles. And chatting to them, and I kind of was like, how do you feel? And she's like, I don't know why people ask me that, because you feel terrible after you've run 100 miles. But she's like, but you feel terrible 80% of the time when you train. So you kind of just get used to it.
Yeah, old school Greta. Eh?
I just love it. And then they finished and they did prize giving. They had to catch a flight straight away, pretty much to the airport, because she's like, I have to be at work on Monday. And do you know what? There were people who went to her on Monday to that veterinary practice, and they would have said, how's your weekend? And she would have gone, good.
Yeah. Now, what can we do but your dog or your badgie or parakeet?
Yeah.
No, she's
I'm
special,
far too vain for that. I would tell everyone.
No, I mean, you're wearing all four medals. No, she's these? I'm sorry. I thought they were a stethoscope. My apologies.
I'm being weighed down by my achievements.
Sorry. Yeah. You'll notice that I'm walking quite gingerly today. No, she's very special. And I think it's an interesting thing. I think Alfred Thorpe had a post up about how we don't talk enough about Nicolette Gravine.
Mm-hmm.
And I would argue that Alfred being very correct, not only is she special in the trail running space, but she is, that's the sort of thing that should be national news.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we live in a space where trail running is the nichiest of niche sports. I think my friend Janesh Ganda once said to you, I think he quoted me, but I stole the quote from someone else, I'm pretty sure, is that we exist in a sport that is a sport within a sport within another sport.
Yeah.
I mean, we're niche. But yeah, what she's done this year has been remarkable, or last year.
And on that note, I remember reading Alfred's post and being on a WhatsApp group where this was being discussed at great length and feeling frustrated. I'm very stoked for friends and athletes and great athletes who have brand deals, and they have that because they are wonderful athletes, but they're also a PR dream. Not that Nicolette isn't a PR dream, but she's a private person.
Yeah.
And then influencing, or like things get elevated and it can eclipse a performance like that. And I'm like, that's not a great spot to be in.
There's an interesting, I'm half a Jack Black in, so maybe it's time to open a can of worms. shout out to Jack Black. I was joking with Em earlier that I'm going to try and mention as many brands as I can and see what arrives at the house in the next couple of weeks.
Shameless plug.
Yeah, no, hey.
He's drinking the CPA.
CPA is delicious. Well done, guys. Probably the best beer in the world. I mean, I've been watching a lot of Graham. Apparently, that's how you do it. I will not name names, but there's a lot of guys and girls, but mostly guys. But it's interesting. So, it's... Obviously, the space has changed, right? Like, it's not purely about performance anymore.
Yeah.
Right? Because people aren't buying shoes. And I'm not sure actually what moves that would be interesting. I'd love to get for you to get a couple of those brands on and the brand managers and ask how this works. Because, I mean, I feel like I'm rehashing a Debo podcast, yeah, or a Finn Melanson single track. Shout out to Finn Melanson. What a guy. But... I mean, there is a frustration, I think, among some athletes, and I've seen posts about it, saying, you know, I've won this many races and I can't get a brand to send me a pair of shoes. But you have to do more than that, unfortunately, now. Or maybe you kind of have to talk about your achievements. And it's not bragging. It's And it comes easier for some than others.
Yeah.
And I think that's, it's unfortunate that you can't just be rewarded for achievement.
Mm-hmm.
But we clearly exist in a different time and space right now. And come at me if you think I'm wrong, but not during work hours. I'm busy most days, thanks, with kids and teaching, but not a break. Happy to take you on a break. But I think brands expect a little bit more now, right?
Yeah.
And you, I mean, I think about like interviewing Jeshrin Small at UTCT. He's got a very strong YouTube presence. If I think about a variety of the international athletes, I mean, it's that couple, Tybor and
Eli Hemmings.
Eli Hemmings. The Hemmings have
killing it
out there. Podcast, yeah. Insta, YouTube. Obviously, they're of a generation that knows how to work these things. It doesn't come easy. I mean, editing is a thing, and I think it's a combination. You have to back up the performance with this, and you have to back up the talk with the performance. But
unless you're Jim Walmsley, you get to do nothing.
But Jim still does have a media team.
Yeah.
Jim doesn't exist in a vacuum.
Yeah.
He has the very talented Marcel van der Merwe. Shout out to my favorite Canadian South African, except my wife and my children.
We love you, Mars.
Mars, you're amazeballs. But even Jim has to create content. Now, the content looks different because it's not Jim talking about Jim for the most part.
Yeah.
He's not doing, Jim Walmsley's not going near his Instagram account. Unless he has to. But the content still is required. Kylian Jornet, I teach 8-year-olds who love to talk about the GOAT, Ronaldo or Messi. But Kylian may very well be the GOAT, if not the OG GOAT.
Literally, this trail running performance, environmental advocate, family man,
and
human extraordinaire.
Yeah, I mean, and as you say, advocate, and it's written quite eloquently in the last couple of weeks about some of the things going on in the trail space. But he has a feed. He has to have something. You have to have some sort of footprint. It does feel like you have to have a footprint.
Which is interesting for me because I feel like your typical trail runner, dirtbag, mountain-loving personality doesn't actually want to have a social media footprint. With that said, there's a lot of trail runners who are quite creative.
Yes.
But I think what expressing that creativity looks like now to what people would maybe want it to, it's kind of a wrestle.
So I've always wondered, and again, if anyone wants to share these numbers with me, when an influencer or an athlete puts a product code up and says, if you enter the Dirty Dozen Half Trail Marathon this weekend, yeah, I couldn't think of anything else. I didn't want to call out anybody. You can use my product code. Use the product code ShawneeSeanSeanSean for 20% off.
Yeah.
How many people enter races because ShawneeSeanSeanSean or KaneyKaneKaneKane or Nicolette puts their product code on? I don't know.
You don't back it.
I think new people to the space, perhaps.
Yeah, I was going to say new people
in the space, but I think once you've been in the space a little bit, but then I've gone to the promenade and I've been to trail runs a while ago. Burnt Gear, the brand everyone loves to hate. They do make nice stuff, I'm told. I've never worn a sports bra, so I couldn't tell you. that's not completely true, but story for another night. But clearly they make great product and they're out there. And people wear them. But I've not seen influencers per se wearing them. But they've made their way into the sport. They're in the trail running space now. They have a trail running, they have a couple of athletes. They've got some dudes that I know that are really rapid. I think Henko Visser, one of those guys. There's a couple of Sindrino, I think, is a athlete running for Burnt now. I might be wrong. But they're in the space. They've come into the space. But are people buying it because so-and-so is wearing it? I don't know.
I think that it depends on the generation.
I think it's a generational thing.
Yeah.
When Satisfy arrive, oh my gosh, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, if anybody does want Satisfy, I'm happy to cut holes in my shirts for you. Feel free.
Yeah.
I got a couple of Holy T-shirts from a couple of my first races that I'm happy to let go for 2,000 to 5,000 rand each.
Here we go.
Moth Tech for life.
It's got Sean's sweat on it, guys. It's worth that much.
So much sweat.
Just on that note, Sean's like, brands, things that are emerging, I think we sound like broken records where we're like, running is growing.
Yep.
I don't want to just say trail running
because running is exploding.
Running is exploding, but it's also niche. So I'm always like, what is the explosion kind of a once-off thing? Do people like do an ultra, get it out of their system, and then it fades out?
So this is the third running explosion we've had in, I think they talk about it
since
being the
COVID.
Third. No, it's the third one. It's the first explosion since COVID, but it's the third one we've had, third major one in like 100 years.
Hmm.
So in the 80s, Jim Fix was this guru of running.
Yeah.
He wrote lots of books. He also died of a heart attack running. Great way to go, I suppose. But there was a huge explosion in the 80s. I think running explodes. Here's my journalism degree coming forward. Running comes in times of great upheaval.
Mm.
They talk about it being times of uncertainty. There's something, golly, now I'm going to feel like some sort of guru online. But it comes in times when people need some sort of stability or like a touchstone, right? And there's nothing more grounding or more touchstone-y than whacking on a pair of shoes and going for a run, saying, I'm going to do 5Ks and knocking out 5Ks. You've done that now. Done 10Ks and it's hard. We want to do hard things. And you're from a family of farmers. I'm from a family of farmers and soldiers, that sort of thing. We haven't fought a war in a long time. God willing, we never have to. I've seen some stuff out there. War is not pleasant, let me assure you. So running fills gaps, I think. And it's cool now, which is another thing. Apparel is way cooler than it was
when
I was starting out. Like, all the brands are making beautiful color. You use the word colorway tonight.
Yeah.
The colorways are rad. The shirts are cool. The shorts, I mean, no one's wearing polys anymore. Well, maybe a few people.
It used to be one of those things where if I bumped into somebody in, let's say, in public, in the spa after a run, I'd be like kind of embarrassed because I'm like, oh, my like Marty's like rugby vest and my school shorts that I'm wearing. Now I'm like, hello, yes. Yeah. Have you seen my beautiful duck egg blue shirt?
If anybody's listening, I'm wearing a CL t-shirt that I had brought in from Canada. It's stripy. No, some of my friends know it as the Where's Wally shirt. But no, it's true. And I think that adds to the appeal, right? Like, so one of the things with the explosion of running, it doesn't necessarily translate, and it's more general, and we'll come specific, so I'm getting off trail running, I suppose, but it hasn't completely, my understanding is it hasn't completely made its way into clubs. Clubs aren't growing at the rate you would expect. While races are selling out, the young people, the majority of young people who are joining, don't want to be a member of a club because they're still selling vests that are made in the same color that club has had for 50 years, which carries a value. I think that's cool. Like, I myself, a longtime member of a road running club, great people. Road runners are rad people. Clubs are the lifeblood of this thing. When eventually, because fads or like waves eventually crash, they'll still be around. There'll still be the 500 people at AAC, the 500 people at Celtics and VOB, who's over 1,000 runners, Iteka, all of these. But young people now get to choose, and older people, thankfully, get to choose cool stuff to wear. They don't have to wear the club gear. You can wear, today you can wear your new egg blue on, and then tomorrow you can whack on the Satisfy, and heck, you can run through it all. I mean, Terex is making beautiful stuff. Puma's making rad, interesting things. Brands in America that are coming out, I'm told Bandit's pretty cool.
Yeah.
OCL, and like Rabbit.
There's a interesting move now. I was listening to a podcast. It was Dylan Bowman and Aaron predictions for 2026, and they talked a lot. They talked a lot about innovation was the hype of last year, where how can we innovate, what's new. You see like Nike, like the ACG,
which has been around apparently
it's been around, and then Caleb made it famous at Western States.
Well, with that weird
vest with the holes, aerodynamic.
My dad just have one of those in the garden.
And everybody's got that one shirt that they just won't throw away. And it's like, well, how can we innovate? And now what you're seeing is like, okay, now it's more a move towards durability, not sustainability, but what's going to last. And that's interesting now that you talked about what I'm curious as to what's going to last, not just outside of the piece of gear, but in terms of the club versus the crew versus the races, because certain things.
So I don't think they're mutually exclusive. So one of the things I like about the run club culture is that it's interchangeable. So you can hit a Tuesday Trails, then you can go running late, then you can do Must Love Hills, and then you can do Gonzo.
Mm.
And if you're in Joburg, there's 12 run clubs you could join there.
Yeah, you're not registered and locked in.
Yeah, you're not locked in. You're not feeling weird because you're which you never had to be. Like, running clubs had connections across the country. Like, if you go down to Durban and your club doesn't have a gazebo for comrades, you can
go to the Dolphins.
You can, yeah, head up the Dolphins. There's a variety of ways. But, so I don't think they're mutually exclusive. I think you can be a member of a run club and an athletics club. Because the way our system is set up in this country, you need to be a member of an athletic club to run Comrades and Two Oceans. For the rest, you can buy a temporary license.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't know if they'll... I think run clubs are also here to stay, at least for a while, because they build community in a time where community is almost lost. I mean, you were talking about having what sounds like a Walton Mountain amount of cousins. So you had an inbuilt community, or living in a farming community, right? Like, everyone knows how important community is in that. Mm. I grew up in a Zimbabwean, Rhodesian, whatever you want to call it, family, where everyone's an uncle, even if they're not an uncle and an auntie, and everyone's welcome, and my mom will just throw another thing in the oven and we'll feed them all. That is less and less prevalent, and that's what makes running rad.
Yeah.
And that's what makes what I think made Tuesday Trails. I was thinking as we're running those interminable laps around the common, how I almost identify as, like, first and foremost as a Tuesday Trailer. Like, that's kind of where I'm at. Yes, I love going to the other runs, and invite me, please, to Steady Shakeout and all of these. I want to join you guys when I can and how I can. But, like, first and foremost, Tuesday Trails are my people, because they were my people when I was looking for people and when I needed people. And we're talking about, like, what's important in these contexts, and what important is showing up. And so after a while, you do show up. But the nice thing about a run club is, so you can either show up, and become like a hardcore member, or you can flit in and out in a context of where, like, it works for your life. A lot of people working from coffee shops or working digitally, digital nomads.
Yeah.
And that. So
they need to see people at the end of the day.
They need to see people, and they need to connect, and they connect over this one thing. But yeah, when I think about what Tuesday Trails has meant to me and to a load of other people, and even the guys Bright who does the car guarding, his family, and those connections are super important. When I think about, God rest him, Mike Olson, who passed away last year, the CEO of Mates. I mean, Mike was a lot of things, and you can be more than one thing at the same time. He was a gruff, stubborn man. But he was also a man who cared quite deeply about trail running and running and his people. And his people were loyal to that and loved him for it.
Yeah.
And I think that's cool.
I just hope it's this classic, like, tension that you're trying to hold. It's like, keep it open because you want to welcome the peeps in, but don't lose the core.
They talk about this all the time, right? And I was listening to a Debo. I mean, I should take a drink every time I say Debo. Apparently there's a Dylan Bowman drinking game. Every time he says something like, trail running will save the world. Dylan, loved to be on the show. First time caller, long time listener. but he was talking to an editor of a trail running magazine a while ago. And she was saying there's sort of now two groups in trail running. There's the, I've been doing this a long time, and I'm wearing my oldest, raddiest shirt from the Mountain Claw Tiger's Milk race of 1977.
You know, they weren't 100% cotton.
Yeah, 100% cotton. There weren't even marshals. One man died. We scared him to the finish. He got a medal. And then there's the newer generation who's like, so this is organic cotton farmed by Peruvian shepherds. And
Hand harvested.
And it's Satisfy, but it's in collaboration with the a band you've never heard of.
Oh,
and I'll put it on the front so that you know I know. And those two things are fine, right? As I said, like, as long as I mean, again, I don't want to sound grouchy, but you don't want to be, I don't want there ever to be too many barriers to entry to this, to the sport versus rad. You should be able to effectively rock up in a pair of shoes and say, I want to go for a run. Let's just do the thing. But there are certain things inherently that make our sport special, right? It needs to be kind of hard. Killian talks about how skyrunning has almost fallen away. There's very little technicality left in races.
Yeah.
Because it is for the masses now.
Yeah.
Which works for me because I'm a terrible athlete. But
you want to keep those things alive. Yeah.
Those things need to remain there because they are important. And I think what will happen, and we've probably talked about this before, is that, you know, everyone will talk about, oh, that sold out or that might have this and that. But what will happen is people who become disillusioned with the big flashy things will go off and do the small core races.
2026, the year of the expedition.
The expedition, yeah. Fast. I want to see fast packing events. That's what I want. Underground fast packing events. If you're running any underground fast packing events, I'm not fast, but I have a pack. Shout me out. But I think that's what's going to happen. That it has to happen, but that's always the way it happens. These things go full circle.
Yeah.
Someone goes, oh, I don't want to.
Swings back.
I don't want to go to that. I don't want, that's too, quote unquote, what's that word that everyone likes to say? That's too commercial. It's a horrible word because, ladies and gentlemen, race organizers deserve to get paid money. They work their asses off. They deserve to at least
be able
to put some food on the table. And if they've done a good job, give them their credit.
And it takes years to get your event to that place.
And if I read another thing, when someone talks about how rich these organizers get off them, oh my gosh, it's really hard to read. But unless you're inside the sport, you maybe don't know. From the outside, it looks like if you've got a big sponsor, you're making loads of money. That's not, the costs are astronomical to put on even small events. So I think, but small events will come through, new events will, and those that don't work won't work, and we'll move along. And I'll just keep getting those invites to the Mountain Men.
Hey. Because
those dudes are rad.
Petrus, we love you. And your bright shoes.
Oh, so bright. And your language. Love the way you use the English Afrikaans language, Petrus.
And also, it's just the one-liners for me. Oh, it's the single sentence Insta caption.
No. Yeah, there's a man who's not trying to be an influencer, but it's so
that he
influential.
Is.
Akjammer, Petrus, akjammer.
And the fast packing and the expeditions bring back the Damien Schumanns whose car breaks down in the Cedarburg and then he decides he's just going to run back to Cape Town over the mountains.
Armand Duplessis did a rad thing this weekend.
Yeah.
Like, parked his car and ran back to his car over what sounds like some pretty gnarly terrain and then typical Armand fashion. Did post about it, but kind of matter-of-factly just had a rad time and then mentioned how he maybe had a couple of falls but almost died.
Not
but didn't really
deal.
Die.
Yeah.
Because, and then stopped for a Wimpy Burger on the way home.
Oh, Wimpy.
Love a make a coffee.
Memory unlocked.
Jeez, look at that. They should sponsor events.
Sean, we're going to get this podcast sponsored by Wimpy.
Sponsored by Wimpy. I'm eating a Wimpy burger and drinking a mega coffee as we speak.
There's nothing like the Wimpy questionable ketchup.
Yeah.
Tea sauce. Okay, we have... Welcome to the philosophy that is when Sean and I sit down. And we've been sitting and chatting actually for ages before this, ranging from Finn, loving Bluey, and the life lessons we can learn from that
Bluey's
TV show,
balls.
All the ways to T, to How I Met His Wife. It's been wonderful. We mentioned a couple of great performances in 2025. Mm-hmm. Okay. When I texted you, I was like, I only know what the woman did because I just...
Yeah, for the woman's race.
Hashtag here for the woman's race. I was going to wear my purple shirt, but then I forgot my camera, so, you know.
Just because I don't have a shirt doesn't mean I'm not for you. Also, I'm a size medium.
Size medium, there we go.
Size medium. I'm unashamedly hinting, folks. Unashamedly.
Corinne, Sean is your number one fan.
Big fan, Corinne, big fan.
We mentioned Sam Riley, next level, and just the happiest human ran past her the other day coming into Cork Bay, smiling, blowing kisses, literally just an icon. Love that she was chasing her big bro all the way to the finish and just their kind of cool family relationship.
Yeah, the Rileys, hey, they are proper athletes. Maxine, Miss Mama Riley, loads of veteran podiums over the years, loads of podiums. Probably one of the OG trail runners, actually. Otter, all those events that are now like sort of core to the timetable. She was out there early, setting a tone. God rest him, their dad, also Mike, great athlete, great surfer.
Great surfer, yeah.
Just a Adam, the brother's probably a pretty neat surfer. So the Rileys can do stuff.
Yeah.
Watch out for little Finn Riley coming in hot, eh?
He's just going to start ripping.
And little sister, probably even rapider.
Yeah.
Sam's performance, man. I mean, what do they say in Afrikaans? I can Sam come along, but also I've known Sam a long time. I once went to a run with another mutual friend, Alana Jane Doyle, another absolute weapon. And Sam Riley rocked up, and I didn't know her. She was just a wispy blonde girl. I think I managed to get us quite lost early. She had to put up with how slow I was coming out of Camps Bay. We did some stuff. And it's been wonderful to see her journey. It hasn't been linear by any means, but she perseveres. Sam is the epitome of grit and grace.
She is graceful.
One of those creatives you talk about, her side hustle, frankly said,
love.
Which I think many trail runners love. And we all know Frank, her dog, has got the best glutes in the business. Sam's performance was next level. I think only 10 minutes behind Kane in the end.
Yeah.
Until she rolled that ankle, I still think Sam was going to do big things.
Yeah, she will.
And she's going to. Going to come back stronger. She has. I mean, she's already running some pretty good times. She's been patient. She and her coach have worked really well together. I think she might be with James Montgomery, also a very rad man and a real student of the sport. I have big aspirations for Sam this year, but it really does warm me. I consider Sam family in many ways. So really great to see her do the thing this year. And also be quite, like, I think it took her back a little bit. I don't know if Sam Riley knows how good Sam Riley is. I don't know if she actually gets how much potential she has in this game.
Mm.
Like, I think she unlocked it that day, but I think when she unlocks it,
we're all in trouble.
Those foreign women are going to take a severe knock as
flow state has been reached.
Yeah, no, she's wild.
And we have, I mean, Nicolette, we mentioned,
so good.
Legend. I'm kind of like, where to from here? I'm curious to see what she'll be up to. I mean, she casually already did a DGT to kick off the year.
You've got to imagine. I'd like to see Nicolette go out to Cocodona.
Yeah, just rip the 200 miler.
I think she'd quite. I mean, again, I haven't looked at the times, but I think that sort of event would suit her down to the ground.
Yeah.
She's just going to get stronger as it goes on.
Mm-hmm.
I remember talking to Ed Meyer with some Pombo saying that, I think was it Matt perhaps, or one of the early ones, he basically had to work his butt off to stay ahead of Nicolette. She was chasing him the whole time.
And he made that reference to the feeling of being prey and being hunted. Yeah. And he said it was terrifying. He's like, she was executing like a killer.
Yeah. No, she's wild. Also, shout out to Ed Meyer, who's also had a really good series of results. And I think he's just been over in the Middle East and done really well. Nicolette, Cocodona, I'd like to see that. I'd like to see her take on a 200 miler. I think she'd top 10 overall.
Yeah.
I think possibly even higher up. Cocodona, also something we can talk about. Ryan Sands.
Yeah.
Continues to...
The iconic burrito in hand, catnap in the car.
Yeah, jaw. Swollen face, swollen legs.
Yeah.
I was fortunate enough to interview Ryan after that for another podcast.
Yes, Sean is multi-talented, everybody.
Yeah.
Shameless plug.
Shameless plug, sure. Have podcast, will attend. offer me a beer and I'm definitely there. Not to go off Nicolette a little bit, but if we can touch on Ryan... Again, I don't think even in the trail community or the wider trail community, we understand how good an athlete Ryan Sands was and still is. Like,
I see he made a post so funny where he was like, he just got back from the Solomon training camp in France or Germany, and he's like somewhere cold and snowy. And every year he kind of alludes to the fact, he's like, I'm kind of out of it now. And then he just, he performs... Gives a masterclass in some.
I was standing ovation right when he came in.
Yeah.
I saw the video.
I'm just like, Ryan, keep going, bro. You've still got it in you.
I don't think Ryan. Again, Ryan is. I think when Ryan is just looks like a chill surfer dude from Nurtuk, but when he puts a pair of running shoes on, he becomes a superhero.
Yeah.
What he did at Cocodona, very special. Kept him relevant. In the space as an athlete, a competitive athlete. He himself admits that he doesn't have the leg speed to left to take on the youngsters. I mean, what these
he
guys
says,
are.
He says, but then Mud Marathon, he cooked them in the last 3Ks.
At UTCT in 2024. Yeah. And he was right up there with the boys. He's got wheels. And he's competitive. Like, there's still a fire in him. But I hope that as Ryan, I think Ryan will keep going for many years, but when Ryan eventually does hang up the shoes, that as a space and as a group, we're able to acknowledge Ryan Sands for what Ryan Sands has meant for the sport. I mean, he's still probably the only athlete many of our moms know because he was in carte blanche at one time.
Everybody has his book.
Everybody has his both books. Steve Smith, his ghostwriter, well, not so much ghostwriter, but his co-writer, also quite a trail runner these days. Has turned to trail running and knocking out the marathons and whatnot with Ryan, which is cool to see. Trail running gets to you eventually.
It does.
But yeah, Ryan, what a dude. And let's see what he does this year. I think there's some stuff happening. I think Ryan's got a couple of epics planned.
I saw the soft launch of the Sandy trail running video on Insta. Let's see.
I think.
Which desert is he going back to?
Yeah, I think Ryan's going to do some stuff.
And speaking of keeping up with the youngsters and people who have wheels, Rebecca Kienle, ultra debut, UTCT. First of all, when I heard ultra debut, I kind of was like, I feel like I know that, but I forgot just because she's been so consistent in the marathon distance and other distances up until now that I kind of was like, oh, I feel like you've run an ultra because of how many hard things you have done. And I was standing on the Newlands contour. It was a really hot day. She was flying, happy, smiling, loving life.
And ripped. I don't know if, like, Rebecca's been hitting the gym. Like, Rebecca's been putting all the work in. She looked like she could have run that race on her arms when she came into Newlands. Like, she and focused. Shout out to Papa Kuna. I'm sure he's helping out there with the strength work. You know, I remember Rebecca. I think we forget how young Rebecca still is and how young she came into the space. She probably didn't even have a license when she started coming down to races in Cape Town. She came down for an event. I think it was still during COVID or just after COVID. We were doing the hello to my ginger cat who's just jumped on the table.
What's up, Jack?
Hi, Jack. We can knock him off. But she came down to Cape Town to run, I think it was the 25 at what Stu was calling
Special Edition.
And we were tracking her and she missed the turn to come back down to Deer Park. She was way ahead. And she ran basically onto the pipe track. And we had to send Chris.
Oh, my word. Core memory unlocked.
Chris Jacobs had to go and find her. Like, run her and chase her down. I mean, that's how long she's been doing this thing. And she's just got better and better.
Yeah.
I mean, when Essex International signed her all those years ago, they spotted a talent. Early. They're still going to do things. Yeah. Many big things in our space. I think we're going to be talking about Rebecca Kuna in the same breath as Bianca Talbotton, Tony McCann. She's going places. Yeah. So just great to see.
And just so exciting for me, not only on the women's sport front, but just South Africa in general, to be in international spaces or have our foreign friends visit us and hear, don't underestimate the South African athletes. That is like so great to hear.
No, it's fantastic. Like, we're not just making up the rest of the field, right, anymore.
Yeah.
We are competitive. We're going to take the win if you don't. You have to bring your best.
Yeah.
Because nothing else will do.
And what I love is every time we think, Ryan will be like, it's a sport for the young people. Then you get Douglas Pickard, KZN farmer, dad.
So Dougie Pickard, man. I was at UTD. Jeez, I realize how lucky I've been to be at some of these things. At UTD when he smashed the 100-miler record, Ryan's record.
Yeah.
And then, like, had three children in his arms momentarily. And he was explaining that not only is he he farms some sort of berry. I don't want to get it wrong. I think I said cherries a while ago, and someone was like, raspberries. Like, I'm sorry to all the berry lovers, and I don't think cherries are berries, but they have a pit in them. It's all very confusing in the berry world. But again, feel free to drop them off. My kids love blackberries. How many shameless plugs can I get in tonight? Like, at least 3,000.
We still have at least 10 minutes, Sean. You've got time.
At some point, any car people out there? No. But he not only has the farming, but he still runs a logistics business in Joburg. He goes up to Joburg 3 or 4 days a week. I think I recently saw he was up at 3:30 or 4, smashed a run.
Airport.
Airport. Or smashes a run and goes straight to work in Joburg all day, back to Durban the next day, sort of thing. You know,
some say Doug, he actually runs to Joburg.
I'm pretty sure he does. Doug is a great athlete, great family man. His wife, Jade, also pretty rapid herself. The kids are magic. Watching him, it was a masterclass in the 100 miler. He was outstanding. He came into Newlands, Newlands Picnic Ground where I was, just looking very smooth. As smooth as someone who's just done 150-odd kilometers could. There was sort of a hallowed silence as he came in. All the other guys with their massive crews. Doug had his brother-in-law sorted him out with the proverbial bottle of sparkling water and a couple of things.
Classic.
And then I think someone offered Doug a painkiller, and he was like, "Are you mad? I'm feeling great."
Yeah.
And they took off. And I think he got faster as he got to the end there.
Yeah.
I'm told that when Ed Meyer, who was also going pretty hard, and I thought was getting – and got as close as he could, and Ed Meyer also just a really great athlete and someone who never gives up. Doug had already smashed two beers by the time Ed Meyer got there, as I heard. Doug was waiting with another beer for him.
I think those KZN boys, it's not hard for them to.
So that is – I mean, he's a full-time –
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
And that's really remarkable. I mean, the guys in that race, there were some proper international.
And I love to see that, Sean, as much as I'm like, yes, I'm so stoked for those who get the sponsorship and they're doing it full time. And I think of Charlie Hamilton, Aussie,
Intermediate,
and he just went, for as long as I have this opportunity, I'm going to give it everything
Why
I've
not,
got.
Man?
But it's great for me to see that there's still the balance of the family man or
admire full time employee
doing,
they're like all out there
still smashing it. And I think that's just time in the sport, experience, that finding which race distance you want to do. Another person comes to mind, Daniel Klaasens. It took him a while to figure out, you know, what's his distance, where does he want to go. He spent time sharpening different things. He's fast, but he can also go far. And I remember...
And drinks beer like I've never seen.
Drinks beer like we've never seen. And I remember chatting to his coach, James Montgomery, and he said something where he was like, Daniel, shouldn't race too often because he puts himself in the well every time. He just digs himself into the hole.
Mm.
And that means... That's a great skill to have. That's something that you want. It's a little weapon. But he then shouldn't race too often because you can't put yourself in the bin that frequently and then everything holds up.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, his performance at UTMB, I think it was TDS perhaps. There's a lot of acronyms that I can't keep hold of all the time. But I think he was in the top five there, which against world-class athletes. Yeah. I mean, we already knew Daniel was... banging on that door the year before. He'd had a top 20 performance at CCC, I think.
Yeah.
Full-time employee as well.
Yeah. Soon to be dad.
Soon to be dad. Red Bull have clearly got Daniel mainlining that Red Bull all the time. Well done. But yeah, he works hard.
Yeah.
And his wife, there's sacrifices that have been made. And he gets his training in before work. He gets it. And he is... outstanding. And I mean, we joke about it, but Daniel is very much, I always call him my Ginseling Afrikaans athlete, but I said that to all of them. But he's also just a really rad dude to be around.
Yeah.
Like, you'll ask Tony, you'll ask the others. Daniel, two nights before a race, will have a couple of beers with you. His perspective on the sport, I think, is really wonderful.
It's cool.
He's not making it more than it needs to be. And I think that adds to his aura and his vibe. At the risk of using the word vibe too many times.
I love it. These athletes who make it look easy, but we know it's not. And we know the story actually does come.
You see the work they put in.
A long time. It's so hard because I'm like, we're going to sit here for 7 hours if we talk about all the noteworthy performances. There's still so much that I still want to see. Athletes who have been out because of injury, life, whatever the case is, and I'm just like, I know that they're going to make a comeback and we're going to talk about it and it's going to be great. And if that is you, just keep going. Just keep doing those little rehab exercises. Yeah. We need you back.
Indeed. I do want to give a shout out to another performance at UTCT that was pretty remarkable, Matt Healy.
Yes.
Matt putting it together on the day, running pretty hard to catch Alexi.
Dimitri.
Dimitri, excuse me. Russian, Russian. Potato, 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 potato. They do love potato, but in the form of vodka. But I mean, he got pretty. He was neck and neck up there with like Dimitri and Jeff McAvera, yeah. who did some remarkable things over the last 10 kilometers. But Matt putting it together on the yeah. day, still pretty young in the sport, races judiciously, doesn't go to the well, as you say, that often.
Yeah.
When he does, he has good performances. Very scientific in his training.
Yeah.
And yeah, good for him. Like, really rad to see.
And to, I think, the kind of overwhelm almost of racing against people like Jeff and Dimitri and then overtaking them and then seeing how long you can hang on for, that's golden stuff.
I mean, that's gotta tell you that you belong.
Yeah.
And set you up for 2026 and beyond. Yeah. So interesting to see where he'll go next and what he'll do. I think he's very strategic, him and his coach.
Yeah.
Actually not sure who he's coached by. One of the many.
Also Monty. Yeah.
Monty's got a stable out there.
Of racehorses, yeah.
Lots of racehorses.
Yeah.
Monty, if you ever want a donkey, I'm not available. but yeah, so done really well.
Yeah.
And then just, yeah, I mean, you talk about the injured athletes. Tony had a bit of a rough ride this year, but it stayed positive and I think amazing things. Bianca back and forth a little bit. Tarawera, really good run. Dominated Otter. Absolutely smashed that out of the park. Had a...
And got an engineering degree. A master's.
Yeah. Master's degree.
Casual.
Got casually engaged to the lovely Robert Tweddle.
And somehow manages to grow all the veggies that she eats.
The Tweddletons, I think is what we're calling them, or the Tauber Tweddles.
Oh, love it.
But wonderful lady. Just really kind, really lovely. Had a hard day out there.
Yeah.
Really interesting to see and really cool to see an elite not bail.
Yeah.
So often there's... She and Kimmy not having a good day. Like by all stretches of the imagination, not the day they would have wanted nor expected. And they just kept moving. And Bianca has talked about how she felt and got on a call with her coach, who I think might also be James Montgomery. Maybe not. If Bianca, if he's not your coach, we're sorry. Whoever Bianca's coach is, good job, though. Who said, hey, don't just do it. You don't have to do it for yourself. Do it for the people out there. And she did.
Yeah,
her cool. Her people were out there. She's really close with her family and her friends and loves the community. I asked her a little while ago, does it get tiresome sometimes, people wanting to touch the hem of the cloak that is Bianca? And she was like, no, I love it. I love talking to people who love running as much as me. And it speaks to who she is.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to lie. I was pretty emotional when she rolled into Newlands, and it was nice to give her a hug and just let her hopefully know that I think she's fantastic.
Yeah.
And so good for her. Just injuries are part of this game, right? It's hard to watch, but we know the things these people are made of, and that there will be other races. It's also interesting, I think, what Bianca said, and maybe it's true for many of them. It's once they discover that running doesn't have to be the only focus, it makes things a bit easier. You can recover more easily. You can get that rehab done and whatnot.
Yes. Just lifts that weight. Yeah.
Also, just this weekend, I believe there were some races in the Middle East. And will you see Kakuko?
Yeah.
He had a good run. Anele Banz, also one of those stalwarts at Mimbus and Pombo out there. So, yeah, the South Africans making some headway in the Middle East.
And it wasn't a race, but I bumped into the Live Run contingent in Yonkershoek on Sunday.
Yeah.
And was, you know, they invited me. Do you want to join? I laughed. And then they continued to run away from me. And I just watched them frolic up the mountain, and so excited to see just where that's going, what Lindy has done.
Had some great performances again at Ultra Trail Cape Town. Sinibuniso, I think, had a good run. Sinivuyo, excuse me. That was Sinibuniso Sildak I was thinking about. Sinivuyo had a great run. A few of the gents had really stellar runs, building a really nice crew of young guns and older. Yeah. But also, it goes beyond running, doesn't it, with Live to Run. Great initiative from Lindy, and it's cool to see the corporate getting involved there. R&B.
Yeah, so great. Glad they've got that sponsorship down.
It's interesting. I was thinking about endemic versus non-endemic sports. You see, I listen to podcasts. I learn big words.
Hey.
And it is interesting how our sport is starting to attract those brands because they see the value, and those athletes are sort of overlapping back into there.
Yeah.
And that's cool. I think, you know, we love the classic brands. We love the shoes. We love the gear. We love the many, many electrolyte brands. that are out there, the proteins and whatnot. But it's cool when big banks come. And as long as they don't mess with the sport too much,
yeah,
we're happy to have their involvement and and make use their interest rate.
The resources.
Yeah, I mean, it's rad. And RMB have been great. They've taken on Ultra Trail Drakensberg and UTCT.
Yeah.
They might have got some great sponsors on board there. So, yeah, thanks to those guys and all of those opportunities. I think we're going to see more of that.
I'm excited to see where the year goes. There's great programs out there. Keen to see what happens with trail taxis. I would love to see more women's participation in teams, which is, I mean, that's a whole other kind of challenging thing.
Just to that end, to give a bit of a shout out to Shawnee and Tara Van Niekerk, and I think they call themselves the Berg. I'm not sure we're allowed to say the word. Bitzers. It's really hard to shout for them on a mic. I always feel like I'm going to get called by Tony for swearing. But they sponsor Lady Runners. There was the Terek support of She Runs with Erin and Bianca and a few other ladies, Erin Maxine, which was really cool to see. So I think we're seeing that. And I mean, as an old Vito who goes to runs, I am heartened, if not made to feel even older, by the amount of young women trail running.
Yeah.
It's cool and it's coming.
It's coming. We're getting there. There's progress and the right people are behind it. And it makes me excited.
As our sport diversifies and barriers to entry, which are still there, very hard. Location where you live very much determines your access to the mountains. But it's coming.
Yeah.
One thing we haven't touched on, it's probably a conversation for 2027, is announced as the Cape Town announced as the host city for the World Trail Championships. There's some controversy around that, I think.
Really?
In terms of, I've read some stuff. Other provinces unsure of how they'll get there, how athletes will be selected. That's the thing. I think they'll have to work out.
Okay.
Because our space is, it's an interesting, I mean, it's a podcast for another. I'd love you to do a longer form one than this. We don't have a governing body in the same way Athletics South Africa governs all athletics. But for the World Trail Championships to come here, there's going to be some oversight required.
Mm,
and so
the selection process.
Western Province Athletics are involved in some way. How does an athlete from KZN get recognized?
Yeah, what is the selection criteria? And is it equal?
Is it equal? I mean, I've listened to some podcasts around how the Americans do it. They have what they call, they'll have their races that you can qualify at, but they'll also have resume selections. So Jim Walmsley doesn't have to win an event. He gets in because he's Jim Walmsley and he's won 10 events and his resume speaks for itself.
Yeah.
How that will work, yeah? I think James Montgomery, we've spoken of him a few times tonight. He had quite an eloquent post because he's been involved as a coach, I believe, of the World Trail team before. As an opportunity to diversify a sport, because there are athletes who may not be in the trail running space who would absolutely smash a vertical kilometer.
Yeah.
Who could be in the next year and a half trained to run vertical kilometers. Could literally just, we have some of the finest road runners in the world.
Yeah, that's great.
I mean, if
true.
You think about what the Kenyans are doing in the Golden Trail Series, the Moroccans, why aren't we seeing that?
Our South African roadrunners just need an opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Introducing them to that, the long form. Will the course be super technical? My understanding is that our mutual friend Stuart McConaughey might be the race, I don't know if it's race organizer, but
coordinator
or setting the course.
Okay.
So I think you could then be looking at quite a technical.
Stu, don't be a bully, bro.
Go for it, Stuart. Go for it. what's the requirements at a world trail marathon championship? Is it?
Yeah, because running in the Drakensberg to qualify is totally different too.
Can you qualify up in Joburg?
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like what are we looking at? Does a Sky Run, for instance, qualify? Yes, perhaps. So that should be really interesting. We want it to be as fair as possible, of course. That's some really interesting stuff, and I think it could be a wonderful, actually it should be a wonderful opportunity to not just showcase Cape Town but South Africa and introduce trail running to South Africans. We have a world championship coming.
Yeah.
Like that's a big
thing. That's a big deal.
And how do we market that over the next year? and a half and say, and how do we make it? If you want to make something like that spectator friendly, you take out some of the technicality, which is a challenge. You don't want that. Trail running, unfortunately, by its nature, isn't the most spectator friendly.
Yeah.
We don't want it to be cross country.
Yeah.
Killian alludes to this when he talks about how if we become an Olympic sport, the Olympics are not going to want to watch trail runners traipse the mountain. People want to see you do eight laps of a predictable course. If you look at the way mountain biking works at the Olympics.
Yeah.
So how that'll work, who knows? But I think it's rad that we're getting the World Trail Championship. So
it's exciting. Very exciting. Just for, as we mentioned earlier, just even athlete opportunities. Like if you qualify, one, it's also just to race against, you will improve exponentially just by racing against people who are going to make you work hard, who are the best.
And can you imagine bringing kids down to watch these people run?
Yeah.
And the inspiration to say, oh, you can run in the mountains and become a world, like represent your country.
Yeah.
This is a sport. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not just what your dad does on a Saturday to get away from your mom. It's a sport.
Yeah.
I do want to, you talk about opportunities and how things, I don't think we often realize how our sport can change things. Again, I don't want to get soppy about changing lives, but I was privileged enough to be on the mic with some other really talented MCs at the Cape Town Marathon Trail races. And the gent who won the 46, Philani, absolutely sped through the line. I mean, we barely caught him as he hit the line. He beat a pretty strong field. He took down Robbie Rorick. Jacques Duplessis, I think, was out there. There were some proper legit runners. And I sort of sat in the back and watched prize giving. And he was quite stoic about things.
Mm.
And then they announced that he'd broken the record. And he cracked a little bit, got a little emotional.
Yeah.
And then they announced that there was a incentive to that. And it was at that point when I think he realized what he'd done. And it was wonderful to watch. Because for a lot of us weekend warriors who work at Investec or have things, and not a knock on all of that, but we have runners who want to participate, who the barrier to entry is hard.
Yeah.
And they're super talented.
Yeah.
And this man, super talented, works hard. I know he trains with James and Kane and these guys. He's got a bit of help. He's got a bit of sponsorship and whatnot. He's getting some work in there. But what a vindication of your talent on a big scale. It was also the day that an 11-year-old jumped across the finish line.
Rebecca Watney.
Rebecca Watney and helped her go viral.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw that. I announced she was about across the line, and then
this bro just broke the tape for her, yeah.
This little boy jumped across the tape, and it was a moment. One of the more amusing / cringy moments of 2025. But yeah, so just some great performances all around, right? I've seen some cool stuff in the last year.
There's another, actually, Rebecca Watney. I'm excited to see what she does. I made friends with her running across Central Lesotho.
You make friends with anyone.
That's true. I just
love people, Em.
People are the best.
Don't be grouchy like me.
No, man, Sean, you're not grouchy. I love people. Your kids are great. Your cat's great. Jack's right here purring away. So hopefully we're still doing a good job.
Now, Rebecca Watney, she's got some wheels.
She's got wheels. She's skiing now. Yeah.
Maybe that's what unlocks things, right? The ski
mode.
You
just need one cold winter to flip and freeze you to your core, and then you thaw out, and then it's like your superpower's activated. Yeah. It's like the equivalent of Spider-Man getting bitten by the spider.
Also, Rebecca Watney, fanciest accent I've ever heard. Sure. That's a girl's school accent.
And artiste. She's creative. But I mean, again, the trail runners, they all have cool side hustles.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's very, very annoying.
The multi-talented.
Yeah.
Oh, last thing to round out, just comments on events in South Africa. Things are growing. I've seen some new things emerge. By the way, should have disclaimed this right at the start of the episode. I feel very out of touch with the SA trail scene because I just went away for a year. So Sean's done a great job of bringing it all together. But Sleeping Beauty Trail.
Actually, yeah. So that's put on by a gentleman by the name of Chris Monlow and his wife.
Okay.
I go back 20 years with Chris Mon. We used to go to Bible study together.
Nice.
Back in the day, Chris Mon was like 22 and I was already old. So Chris Mon and Anya put that event on. They're residents in Riversdale. Riversdale.
Yeah.
And I was unfortunately not able to get there to help out this year. I would have loved to have emceed the event. It's just I can't always do 3-4 nights away from the fam.
Mm-hmm.
but rare to another event. And
I've heard great things. Beautiful. And I mean, that's a beautiful, obvious mountain range. As you drive that kind of garden route, you're getting going, you've picked up your coffee and you see it and you go, man.
I'd have to run there. I wish we could stop. Yeah. And I think people who put on a race not to make money, they're putting on a race because they want people to come to where they live and see how cool the mountain is where they live. And that's at its core what we're about, right?
Yeah.
When my, it's a silly thing, but when they opened Missing Link in Camps Bay, folks were phoning me being like, you got to run here, bro. It's cool.
Amazing.
It's rad.
Yeah.
And hey, or have you ever been, like, one of the coolest things we get to do is hang out with our trail runners and go, have you been up the corridor? Or have you been down there? Have you been down there? And like, that's, we're about exploring, right?
People dig to show you where
people
they live.
People want to show you where they live. And
that's even, I mean, Cogman's another one. I see Brundle's bringing in a 100K route. Very
best
cool.
Best of luck to everyone running that 100. Brundle's trying to break you.
Yeah. And also the Montague Mountains. I just did the little old 10K and I was pretty broken.
Shout out to Brundle and Lisa Marie trying to put on a massive race, which has got bigger and bigger. They got some big names, big hitters last year.
Yeah.
Two kids now.
Yeah,
so,
here we go.
Side hustling and hustling, or not side hustling, hustling and parenting at the same time. Rob's working hard, emceeing, putting on events. Expat Africa, Explore Africa, he's putting on those adventure races.
He's got some, he dabbles in hockey.
Yeah,
well.
Great hockey player. Yeah. I first met him in a Speedo at It was a Speedo run for testicle cancer. I was about to call it ball cancer. But I suppose that wouldn't be wrong either. Just, I'm not sure you could get sponsorship for ball cancer. He persuaded me to get more paintings on my body. Oh. I then had to explain that there was too much hair to put paint on. And who he was that day is the man he is today, the most exuberant, excited human on the planet. I've been lucky enough to share the mic with him at a few events, still do. And Kochmans is going to go from strength to strength.
And it's that iconic small town.
Yeah.
They started the church, right? Yeah.
Start and finish of the church.
That's any South African will just kind of know that.
Our boy really mustered. Cameron defeated the field. Himself a enigma wrapped up in a riddle is old Rilly. Loves the run, loves to measure the macros.
There we go.
He's worth the follow on the Insta. Good value is Rilly. But yeah, good for Brundle. Another event that's coming.
And then I just saw this past week, is it Black Mountain Ultra?
I've seen that. I don't know much about it, but looks like it could be quite rad. Then you've got, I think, The Rock and Paul. Rock Ultra had its second year. Had some good stuff coming through.
If you want to go run the equivalent of a desert race, just go to Paul in December.
Yeah, so hot. So wild.
Ask Pietras about it.
And then that rock just radiating heat at you.
Lovely.
And then slip sliding left and over and whatnot. A colleague of mine who's a roadrunner exclusively took it on and came back with fear in her eyes afterwards. It was a day. We did this podcast a year ago, this very similar thing, and we said the sport's growing. It's coming.
Yeah.
And these races are testament to that.
And even seeing, Ultra Trail Cape Town has gone from where it was when I first watched it 8 years ago to where it is now, you almost don't recognize it. And no, I think unfortunate last year, weather just, Mother Nature did her thing and gutted for those who did their first UTCT and didn't get to see it in all its glory. And honestly, stoked to just see it bounce back this year. I think they did a great job.
It was hard. I'm a little bit inside it. By virtue of working the event and being mates with a lot of the guys and stuff. I think what Stu and Julian and Joe and the rest of the team did by even getting that event through the weekend for the most part was remarkable.
Yeah, and safely. Everybody's safe and sound. Yeah.
If we think about how quickly they cancelled that other race a couple of months before and events were being under threat with the wind, the city is quite nervous around these sort of things.
Yeah. And just because of how quickly things can go wrong.
And so, yes, I feel quite badly for not only the runners, but the exhibitors.
Yeah, the expo leak, yeah.
And no way around it. Well done to those expo exhibitors that managed to pivot and sell their product at the Bootleggers or at the Omeal or whatnot down the road. Open Field did some great specials. love the product. Local guys. It was a hard weekend. I think it somewhat perhaps it'll be the year we'll go on and later on to call it the year of the wind. But it was interesting. I was chatting to Meg McKenzie, herself a OG Legend. of this South African trail scene. And well done to Meg for now taking on leadership of the on trail team internationally.
Let's go.
Meg, I'm still available. Meg and I have a long-standing history of me giving her uphill on the mic, and she was able to give me a little bit back the other day.
Hey.
In the interviews process. But she was saying it was quite interesting. When you don't have friends and family at the finish, the run changes a little bit to be quite an intrinsic thing. You perhaps don't get to have that high five, that you're amazing moment. You rock up, you get your medal, and then you have to get your beer and head to the finish, like out, right?
Yeah.
And it almost challenges you to, this has to now be about your why. Your why can't be about other people in many ways. Your why can't be about that finish line straight because it doesn't exist. And I thought that was an interesting take
benchmark.
On it.
Yeah.
It was an interesting take on things from quite a thoughtful lady.
Yeah.
And so I was quite moved by that. But yeah, I mean, part of the whole UTCT experience is that wildness in the crowd. But the aid stations, I mean, you and I have an experience of some of the aid stations, were really great, all of them.
Yeah.
Very different in many contexts. And so, yeah, they got it done.
Yeah.
God willing, we won't see that sort of wind again. I mean, I picked up some of the Kenyan athletes at the airport, people become friends over the years, on the Tuesday night. And I was like, oh, guys, don't worry, the wind's gone by Wednesday, Thursday.
And they were like, Sean.
Yeah, like by the Sunday, I was persona non grata in Nairobi. By the Monday, they'd all finished, and then we had drinks.
And then I must say, that Monday, it was perfect.
Oh, no, it was upsetting. It was upsetting.
It was upsetting. It was bad, yeah.
Yeah.
Sean, this is so cool. Lots to think about, lots to be excited about. I think waiting until after UTCT at the end of this year is too long for us to do this again. I think a mid-year check-in in winter when everybody is sad that it's raining and they want to listen to us talk.
Looking forward.
There we go.
Maybe we can get a blanket
sponsorship. Red wine instead of the Jack Black. So any wine farms out there?
Yeah, I've been known
to... Not a red wine guy.
I've been known to mix it with Coca-Cola. So...
This is Sean's rogue backpacker expedition out.
Yeah, this is Sean from the south of Joburg. I'm a man of the people, am I not? But I have grown to enjoy wine, product of living in the Western Cape for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I think we could do that. I do have a fireplace in my home.
We have Jack here.
Yeah, we have Jack. But yeah, I do think, yeah, I mean, there's so much to talk about, right? And we could be here forever, but I always have fun with you. It's always grand to chat and... If anyone's upset with anything we've said, yeah.
We'll probably forget.
We'll forget. And you know me. I'm like being silly. But yeah, I love you all. Anybody out there, if you bother to listen to this, I love you.
And all the way to the end. Hour 17 minutes of us.
My gosh. Only my mom. No, my mom won't listen to this.
My mom will. And she will love you for it.
Hi, Mrs. Robertson.
Yes. She is Simon Duvall, the Trail Sciences faithful co-host. She's our number one fan.
I love it.
Yeah.
Simon's a good dude. Yana's a good lady. Good people.
You are also good people, Sean. Thanks for this. And anytime. We will check in soon.
For sure. Catch you out there.